My guest at this time is Kansas Republican Congressman Tim Heelskamp. He joins me now to talk about a number of critical issues, including what the status of relations is right now between the leadership in the House of Representatives and the conservative rank and file, especially in the wake of a vote at the end of February that essentially allows the president to have funding for his unilateral immigration action. 75 Republicans voted for it, 167, though, voted against it. And Congressman Heelskamp was one of a few who was actually targeted by a political action committee with ties to the leadership for opposing the president on immigration. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure to join you.
This has obviously been a tense and tough issue. And even when you have political action committees aligning with Republicans running ads against you, talk about the status of relations right now between conservatives and the leadership in your party.
Well, for a sitting Speaker of the House to use and rely on outside groups to target and attack fellow Republicans, that's unprecedented. I think that demonstrates the weakness of the Speaker and his position and the fact that we had 167 votes. I mean, we are talking about historical vote margins in the House and Senate. Republicans have done better than we have in probably 80 to 90 years. And we've immediately started squandering away that victory. The conservative principles and tenets and ideas and issues, you know, whether taking on the expansionist view of government of this president, whether it's his amnesty, whether it's his tax and spend approach. And that was the mantra last fall. But very quickly, both Speaker John Boehner and soon-to-be Leader Mitch McConnell backed away and seem more intent in working with Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi than they are conservatives. And outside groups that are pro-amnesty, the idea, they spend more time attacking Republicans than they do the Senate Democrats. And I think that says a lot about where you have too many insiders, both in the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, that are more interested in their future up here than what the American people want.
What's the plan now to combat the president on this? The Speaker essentially said that we would have liked to have stopped it. We tried. The Senate didn't go along, so we had no other choice, but we're still going to fight this along the way. What have you heard from leadership about where they intend to fight the president on immigration, and what are some of your ideas about where this fight could end up in the near future?
Well, I think essentially the leadership of the House and Senate, Republican leaders, have essentially folded their tents and given up on immigration. There is no more battle. It's now left up to the courts. And recently, Justice Scalia spoke to a group of conservative lawmakers about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I was unable to make that particular meeting. But he advised the members, he said, do not expect the Supreme Court to do your constitutional duty. He said, we can't. That's up to you. And allowing, I think we sent a very strong, bad message to the courts when the leadership essentially agreed with the president's position and funded it, hoping somehow against hope that the Supreme Court's going to come in and save the day. That didn't work with Obamacare, and I hope it works on immigration, but there is no plan for the House or Senate Republicans to challenge this. And at the end of the day, Greg, what I think is the reality, we have plenty of Republicans that said they were against the amnesty, but silently, hopefully, it prevails and it continues ahead. They would much rather the issue go away than to stand on the principle.
We're about 2.5 months into this new Congress with the very large House Republican majority and the new Senate Republican majority, which is pretty healthy in its own right. A lot of folks are looking at the fight over funding of Homeland Security and immigration and saying, well, that was a pretty ugly fight within the party, but overall, we're pretty much all on the same page. Is that accurate? On most issues, is leadership and the conservative membership pretty much agreed on what the agenda needs to be, or is the debate over immigration just the tip of the iceberg here?
I believe it's the tip of the iceberg. In a way, I think it's a generational change. You have folks that have been here, you know, I've been here in Washington only about 4 years, and most of a Republican conference, a majority of us have been here 4 years or less, and then you have our leaders that have somehow been here for decades, still playing around in the politics of the 1990s and when it's 2015. And since that time, they have added about $14 trillion of debt in those 2 decades. And it's a different world. We have $18 trillion of debt. We have our foreign policy in shambles. We have amnesty being forced upon us by the president. We've got out-of-control executive agencies that are pushing the agenda of the left and on every front. And the idea that you can negotiate and compromise with this president, I don't think our leadership gets that. But what we hear again and again, Greg, is this, that, boy, if we do well in the next election, we'll really fight on some conservative principles. It's always about the next election, the next battle. And what I hear from the American people, particularly our conservatives across this country, is stand for something. Win or lose, they know the difference between trying and failing and not trying at all. And what I've seen so far this year is not trying at all, just doing a few press conferences rather than sitting down and say, okay, here's where we're going to head. And we have a chance on this budget to actually hopefully take out Obamacare. We could force a vote in the House and the Senate. So we don't know for sure whether they'll even allow us a vote to repeal Obamacare. But again, here they are waiting on hoping that the U.S. Supreme Court is going to somehow save us on Obamacare. I don't think that's going to happen again either. We have plenty of other issues. We've got a debt ceiling battle. We've got this issue where the speaker is working together with Nancy Pelosi, the former speaker, to add $130 to $140 billion in new debt. Hadn't even talked to conservatives about this thing called the Dock Fix, which, again, involves a massive increase in debt, which is not what the American people. They want solutions that last long-term. They're tired of the political games, and Republicans and Democrats alike continue to play the same old games that I think got us in these decades-long worth of trouble.
Any particular legislation in addition to debt ceiling and budget that you personally would like to see the House move aggressively on?
Well, we need to use the debt ceiling to put our financial house in order. It is simply wrong to borrow money with no intention ever to pay it back, no plans to change our spending spree. I mean, tax revenues are higher than they've ever been. The problem is spending's higher than it's ever been. And yes, the deficit has dropped to $500 billion, but it's going to go right back up unless things change on the spending side. And there's always been massive tax increases in the past 2 years under this administration. And we need not only reverse those, but we need to have, I think, across-the-board tax reform. And we also need to pass some trade packages so American producers can sell things around the world. There are things we can agree on and move forward, but at the end of the day, it will take adherence to conservative principles or Republican ideals rather than turning those over to Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama.
Congressman, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Greg.
You bet, sir. Kansas Republican Congressman Tim Hielskamp. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.